Meeting to order.
I know you are.
Maybe I'm not loud enough. We're gonna call this Finance Committee meeting to order. June 24th, 2014, 1:30. Little update, Councilman Bell and Councilman Towers have some conflicts. They will try to make it. We don't know whether they will be here or not. Can I get a motion on the Finance Committee meeting minutes of June 10th, 2014?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, we have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Okay, minutes declared approved. First on the agenda is Resolution R14-150, authorizing the execution of 9 purchase order contracts for the Department of Community Services for library books and materials and library services for various libraries in the amount of $1,522,039. This involves library books and materials, $142,918, CD music and audio visual materials, $36,744, audio books and AV materials, $73,489, DVDs, audio visual materials, $110,232, Newcastle Public Library contract, $357,291, and the Corbin Calloway Memorial Library contract for FY15, $176,910, Delaware City Public Library contract, $176,185, the Wilmington Institute Library contract for FY15, $353,894, with an additional $1,156 set aside for telephone services for the first quarter of FY15. And we have the Wilmington Institute Library at $94,376. Again, reiterating for the total of $1,522,039. Any questions? Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. $450,000, almost half of this, is going to Wilmington Library. And my question is, earlier in the year, they came in, we had a great discussion, lengthy discussion about policies, procedures that had changed subsequent to the renovations. And we had a substantive discussion about the clear absence of diversity on the library board. My question is, what's changed from that meeting to now?
Speak to that?
Yes.
We contacted the woman.
And you are, please?
Sophia Hansen, Director of Community Services.
Welcome to Finance.
Thank you. They currently have 0% racial diversity and 11% gender diversity. And but since they met with the county, they've been doing recruitment and outreach. So they have African American male that's anticipated to be joining the board in the next month or so, which will give them 11% racial diversity, and the gender will remain the same.
And has there been any discussion with them about policies and procedures, which were reflected in an editorial and they didn't dispute at the time, as to whether or not they had changed?
They have updated some of their policies to be user-friendly, and we're working through some of those details with the contract transition. We'll be transitioning 2 of those libraries into the county system, hopefully by the end of the year.
Well, thank you very much. They anticipate diversity, but as we speak, there is none. Is that correct?
It's 0% racial diversity and 11% gender diversity, but they do have one member that they're expected to bring on board, which is an African American man. But currently there isn't.
I want to ask just a follow-up. The diversity that would be taking place, is that a result of a vacancy coming up on that board or an expansion of the numbers?
Vacancy. It's a result of a vacancy.
Okay.
I think that your discussion they had before council probably had some impact on the consideration for this new position.
Councilor Street?
Well, if there's intended progress, that's one thing. If it comes to fruition, that's another.
Well, this is a quarterly contract, so we can make that a condition that they implement the diversity prior to the next contract extension or renewal. But we, again, expect to transition this library into the county system.
Well, I'm inclined to put forward a motion tonight, eliminating this and holding that money until such time as the diversity is actually in place. And if it fails for a second, so be it. Because it's about 6 months later, and if you couldn't get somebody in 6 months, I'm not inclined to be so trusting to think that it's commend the administration for negotiating, but the will of council be the will of council. I'm concerned, and there's no need of us calling them in if they're not actually going to produce some substantive change. And if you don't take it while you're holding the money, that decreases the likelihood of it becoming a reality.
Councilman Rowe.
Thank you. Sophia, did I understand that you said that the county's negotiating with them?
We're trying to transition them into our system, and we expect to have the North Market Street by the next quarter, and we'll keep negotiating on
the downtown. Okay. The amount of money that on this contract, the total amount of money on the contract, how would that be if they are with our system? You know, as far as help and everything else goes.
The contracts are renewed for a quarter. If they transition in before then, the money will come back to the county's general operating to support the facility.
Right, but I mean, we would have personnel in there too?
Absolutely.
Okay, with the personnel in there, how does that equate to what the amount of money that goes into the library itself?
Well, we're working through all those details now. We don't expect it to be a major impact. The salaries would remain the same, and our current allocation and funding we provide to them currently support those salaries.
Okay.
So there's no major change there.
Okay, one more question. What Councilman Street said about holding back the money, how would that affect the library in itself for the public?
Well, it would impact the library. They wouldn't be able to open without salaries, but it could also force the board to make an emergency decision to make to add the new board member sooner rather than later. But we've been told that that's something, they've made the outreach, they found a great person, and they're bringing them home. But it'll only increase racial diversity, not gender.
I was just wondering how we get a lot of females for the library.
And that was my question as well.
I mean, we can do it, why can't they? I mean, just doesn't sound right to me.
I just want to note that this funding that we're allocating is just for the first 3 months of FY15.
Right, we're doing quarterly because right. We're looking to transition these
if it doesn't take place, I mean, we have to have another purchase order come to the four of them to take them past September.
Well, we're hoping not for North Market. We're hoping to transition.
No, but I'm saying if that doesn't take place. If the transition didn't take place.
Right, we'll be coming back.
We get another bite at this apple.
Absolutely.
In 3 months.
Absolutely.
Mr. Millowick. And Millowick, yeah, I want to make the same point you just made. It's only for one quarter of this apple.
Councilman, we'll go back.
Thank you. Understanding all of the different comments and the transitioning and the working and the vacancy and how fast you can fill the vacancy. My concern is if we do not give this money, how are we impacting the patrons of the library?
The libraries will more than likely be closed without the money.
Okay, so that, I mean, this is like cut your nose up to spite your face. We're not hurting the board. We're hurting the people that use the library.
Yes.
Council President Bullock.
How close are they to making a decision?
Regarding the board appointment?
Yes.
I was told that they've done their outreach and they do have a person in mind. So maybe they're just waiting for their next meeting. It should happen within the next month or so. So by the time the contracts would be coming back for renewal, they would have it by then, certainly.
Councilman Taggart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Hansen, obviously we've heard some, you know, pretty serious concerns, and the validity, obviously, to the point of you tend to get things done when you're talking money or withholding money a little bit exponentially. But my question for you as the GM and head of this department, are you comfortable today where you sit with this in this ordinance if it was to be passed?
I am comfortable, but I wouldn't be comfortable coming back with in September with their numbers for gender and racial diversity being the same.
Anything further from council? Anything from Councilor Street?
Given the comments from Councilwoman Kilpatrick, given the response to Councilman Tagg's question from the general manager, I'll wait. But again, you know, 450 times 4, that's $1.8 million, close to $2 million. And I don't know what else we can do other than either hold the money or take it over. But we waited 6 months. I'll wait 3 months.
Okay. The only thing I will suggest is community services, special services, wherever, that we have some type of a status report in September before we would have another quarter or even come before us, just in case, if not always.
Yes, there is a community services meeting in July. We could do an update at that point as to whether...
Yeah, I was just looking. I didn't know whether there would be enough time.
Absolutely.
But that's what I said, or before.
So. As soon as we know something, we'll transmit something to council.
Well, you already know more than we've heard before when this issue's come up, so thank you very much.
Just quickly, I don't know if anybody spends any time in libraries, but I do, and I can tell you, they're full of kids. You don't want a library closing in the summer. That's all I've got to say.
Okay. Councilman Street.
Councilwoman Dillard is right, and that's exactly why. Plus, I was going to lose. I'm not going to pick
I was on the fence. I was on the fence. I got to tell you.
That's why I'm not going to pick this fight tonight.
Okay. Anything further? Anything from the public? Hearing none. Next on the agenda, 14-151, authorizing the execution of 11 purchase order contracts for the Office of Technology for Computer Software Maintenance in the amount of $726,896.29. And this is for the annual maintenance and software license fee for accounting, asset managing, budget purchasing. Annual technical services agreement for software maintenance support for the police dispatch and records. To renew the annual technical services agreement for software maintenance and support for public safety, and the software maintenance support for benefit, payroll, and human resources. We know we want them to work. Annual agreement for software maintenance for Oracle. And we have the renew the annual maintenance software license fee through Cogsdale Corporation and Matatron Incorporated, which all goes to the computer software to keep things operating in the county. Any questions, any members of council?
Can I just make one correction on 151? It's correct in the resolution, but it is Northrop Grumman for our records.
Is what
on page, if you look at page 2 of the agenda,
right.
That should, under Cogsdale Corporation, R14151, go down to the second one. It should say Northrop Grumman. It's just
misspelled.
RUP. Yeah, it's just missing part of the.
Okay.
Just
on the north.
Yeah. In the interest of full disclosure.
Well, I think the full name would have cost us more money. That's why.
That must be it.
Okay. Any further from council? Thank you very much. Anything from the public? Hearing none. Next on the agenda, we have 14-152, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the Office of Technology for Power DMS software service in the amount of $27,615. There is a typo under Power DMS. The amount is $27,615, and this is for the annual subscription fees, license, maintenance, and software upgrade for the public safety accreditation process. Anything from any member of the council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. Next, we have R14-153, authorizing the execution of two purchase order contracts for the Department of Special Services for payment of annual appropriations to the Newcastle Conservation District in the amount of $120,000. The first is $45,000 for the leasing of 50 horsepower bulldozer, interest free. And the other is the annual appropriations to the Conservation District. Anything from any member of the council? Anything from the public? Hearing none, next we have R14154, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the Department of Human Resources for Employee Assistance Program Administrators in the amount of $34,535. Again, this is the employee, Newcastle County Employee Assistance Program. Anything from any member of council? Anything from the public? Next. We have R14155, authorizing the execution of two purchase order contracts for Department of Community Services for lease rental agreements for Ellesmere and Appaquinimink libraries in the total amount of $232,529. This is $179,990 for the annual rent for the Appaquinimink Library and Activity Center and $52,539 for the annual rent for the Ellesmere Library. Any questions? Council? The public? Is that a hand raise or I guess okay. Next on the agenda, 14-064, amend the grants budget, appropriate additional funding from the State of Delaware Department of Labor, Delaware Workforce Investment Board, and funding from Newcastle County Council to the 2014 Summer Youth Employment Program grant, which will be administered by the Department of Community Services. Councilwoman Dillon.
Yes, as you can see, these are the funds from the state plus County Council for the Summer Youth Program. At this point, we have a firm figure for the Delaware Workforce Investment Board. You can see $23,280. At this point, I'm going to throw a lifeline to Jim Boyle. It's somewhere in excess of $14,000 for Council. Is that correct?
God bless you.
It is, yes, and it's access to $14,000. You're still adding on.
Okay.
Once we go through councilmen, if they want to add on, we'll have a better number. But we're right now, the original estimate was $14,000. We're probably more into $19,000.
Councilman Taggart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councilwoman. Or Jim, do we have to have the final dollar figure before it's passed tonight? Or
I think that's the next ordinance.
Yeah.
Oh.
The next.
Yeah.
It deals with council's contribution.
I don't think we know that either yet.
The one coming up.
Okay.
Bottom line is, whatever dollar figure, my suggestion would be whatever dollar figure that we have tonight, we passed on to the sponsors. Do a forum member to adjust it. If anyone has money left over, then it's just going back into the budget. That's all. And if we exceed the amount that's there, then the policy director advisor has agreed to cut a personal check to cover any difference. So we're pretty good there. Still breathing, Megan? Okay. Next on the agenda. 14-065. Amend the 2014 approved operating budget, reduced the County Council operating budget in order to provide funding for the 2014 Summer Youth Employment Grant. Councilman Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a continuation of the ordinance that's been sponsored by Councilwoman Diller. I'm sorry. And this would determine how much money would be added to the ordinance that we just discussed. The reason I say the hold off, because this deals specifically with Council's contribution, which would be added to the state's additional contribution. And whatever amount of money we have this evening is a number that will go into the budget, into the Summer Youth Program, to Councilman Taggart's concern. To date, we have contributions from the County Council's office and or from their grants to total whatever amount the policy director is saying. But the council members who have contributed to the Summer Youth Program are Councilman Smalley, Councilman Cartier, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Redder, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Street, and myself. So there are seven members of council who have contributed. The only thing I would suggest to county council members is that going forward, if we're going to do this, to try to do this in a more timely fashion, I don't think it's very professional to nickel and dime this program when we know it's coming every single year. If we committed to it, we're committed to it, and if we're not, that's a personal decision, but I don't think we should be doing this the day of or the week before, for that matter. If we have money available that we want to commit to this program, it's my opinion that we commit to it. And if we don't want to commit to it, we don't commit to it. But to have this going on right up until the last day, to me, it's just not an efficient way to run this program.
Councilman Holland, I would agree. That's why last month, month before, when Councilman Street first raised the issue, that's how far back the outreach goes. So maybe as a council, we have to say among ourselves or whatever. Look, here's the deadline for it. So you make your decision, whatever you do with the rest, you do with the rest. Councilwoman Miller, then Councilman Ritter.
I was just going to say, I had talked to Jim about the possibility of giving the rest of my funds, which will be given. But the issue was, and I think this is the problem with this, is that I run a community event in May, and then, you know, Sue and I get reimbursements from monies that we've spent. So he had a rough idea as to what could go on, could go in. But we've had got to have expenses clear before we get an exact one. So I'm not really sure that you can necessarily firm this up before now. I mean, I really just don't think
we can, and you just won't be able to contribute. I just don't think one contributor should hold up the process when we have all these kids that we're trying to satisfy and get a reasonable number. If we know this is going to happen, to me, it's just a matter of planning. But it's up to council. No, council wants to leave it open until tonight, then let's open until tonight.
Get through this year. Councilman Redd.
Thank you. A couple questions. One, Councilman Holland, do you have how much the average council person is giving?
No, I just have the contributors. How much? I don't have an average of what. I'm not trying to expose anyone to how much they gave, but did not give. Some council members gave an awful lot of money, and I guess it depends on how much money you have in your account, in your office account, depending upon how much you spend in your office account, how much you travel, how much you gave in contributions. So the money comes from those two sources, and some council members has committed to everything that's left to the summer youth program, and other council members have decided otherwise.
The only thing I'm suggesting is, if we can come up with some type of dollar figure that every council person wants to give that total amount, like we'll say like $500, and then that way by next year, before the program starts, each council person knows how much they're going to contribute, and they can contribute it out of their funds.
I think it works fine the way it is. It's just the fact that, you know, we need to know before the 11th hour. You know, some
that's what I'm saying. That's why I
some councilmen may have $8,000 by the end of the year. Some may have $800.
Well, they can add to it. It's just that I'm just looking at a figure that we can have.
At the end of the day, it's the taxpayers that are funding this program.
Right.
Okay. Anything further? Councilor Street.
Well, you know, I'm still concerned about the number of kids working, period. What's flawed in this process is, how are you supposed to know how many kids to give jobs to? When kids started working either last week or this week. So you don't know how many, you don't know how much money you have, so you don't know how many kids you can hire. That's one. Two, and not we as a council, but we as a government. From the last time we had 69. Only 69 jobs. The last memo I saw, what council has added so far was 5, and it's just 14,000, maybe 7 more. Now we're 76. And with 76, basically I say, that helps, but so what? 76 in the county, 200 in the city. So you now you got less than 300 kids working in the whole county, and then we wonder why our police force is going to be busy. I'm saying, as a government, we need to have a conversation with the administration about what our commitment is going to be to creating and giving jobs to these kids going forward. Because in my opinion, what we're doing now is woefully insufficient. And it's diminished significantly from what we used to do back in the old days when I still had some black hair. We sponsored a summer lunch program, we sponsored a breakfast program. All those things created jobs. But now, everything, and this involves the state as well, everything is going to the food vendors, most of which are not even from the state of Delaware. So we're bringing in lunches and breakfasts every day from out of state. Out of state people getting those jobs. And we're leaving our kids to the destiny of the streets and regrettably to our police officers. So next year, I don't want to have this conversation about how much individual council people are going to have. I want to have a conversation before we get to this point next year about what we're really going to do differently above and beyond.
And I would suggest that July is the time to start having those conversations, beginning of next fiscal year. Anything further from council? Anything from the public? Anything from Mr. Bull?
Just to mention that sometimes it is, and I just work here, sometimes it is best that sometimes we look at more at the end. Reason being is that, as Councilwoman Deller mentioned, you know, there was an expense. We didn't know the expense, but now, as of this morning, there wasn't money in order to contribute, but as of the last hour, I did have money to contribute to her. Now, in the meantime, too, a lot of people have phones, iPads, and so on and so forth, that I don't know where the bill's going to be paid, at what period of time during the year. Now, all of a sudden, that those things have been paid, there's money left over, the money's being contributed into the summer youth program. So all I'm saying is that more towards the end, we have a better understanding of where the money ends, where the money lies. At this point right now, doing some rough, we started out 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, $14,000. Okay, my estimate right now is, since this morning, we picked up another $5,092, which is basically an increase of what, 33% since this morning.
But it wasn't advantage. Okay, and all I'm saying is, that's 2 to 3 jobs, and I put more than half of my money, half of my total grant and office money where my big mouth is. And I'm going to keep running my big mouth until we as a government do some things differently above and beyond.
The only thing I'm going to say, and then again, we'll continue this discussion at exec meetings or whatever in the future. I think any council member can sit down and take a look at what they're spending out of their office account and what an average, build in a 10% increase for phone, iPads, or whatever else it is that they have, and look at the other. And any time during the year, council member come forward and say they want to earmark X amount towards it, so we have a money balance, and then at the end, maybe we're talking 2-3 thousand, but at least there is a bigger picture when they're entering into the hiring process. So,
and the only other comment, councilman, and I'm going to continue down this road because I think it's important for the long-term well-being of children who have to make a decision. I said, whether I'm going to stay on the right path or I'm going to go astray. And it's most likely to happen during the summer. So,
yep.
In addition to that, as soon as my money becomes available for the next fiscal year, I'm going to put some more money in.
Anything further on 14-065? Hearing nothing. 14-066, to provide for the installation of Granville with optional pole street lights in the traditions of Pike Creek subdivision located in Mill Creek 100. And for a light tax based on the cost of street lights, Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
For title.
Any questions from the council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. Anything we have? Newcastle County Council grant request. Brandywine 100 Fire Company, fire prevention materials. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Brandywine 100 Fire Company does a very active program of educating residents in their fire district on fire prevention, and I would like to make a motion to fund their fire prevention materials for education for $750.
Second.
The motion is a second, $750 from Councilman Cordier's grant account for the Brandywine 100 Fire Company. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Anybody not voting? Okay, next we have the Claymont Fire Company, Fire Safety, Fire Services Training Materials. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, the same kind of program applies to Claymont Fire Company. They have an active initiative where they go out and educate communities about fire safety, and this grant request is for $750 to fund their fire safety training and materials for their community outreach. I'd like to make a motion for $750 for Claymont Fire Company for their fire safety education program.
We have a motion. We have a second. Councilman Dover, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Those not voting? Thank you. Next we have Alexis I. DuPont Middle School, 641 partial student scholarship for field trip per state education standards. Council President Boyd.
AI DuPont Middle School, they do an annual trip to Williamsburg. I'd like to support them in this endeavor. 641 partial student scholarship for the field trip. Make a motion, 1710 for the trip.
Do we have a motion, $1,710? Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Not voting. Okay, next, is there anything under expense and revenue roundtable? Okay, next, under other, previously we had discussed, I had asked, and it has come about to where they have time today. We're going to have a brief presentation from a company called Willis that has to do with the health care reform, the excise tax. We heard about the Cadillac tax. So with that, anytime you speak, please identify yourself for the record, please.
Good afternoon. I'm Penny Hines, Senior Vice President at Willis. We serve in the capacity of your healthcare consultant for Newcastle County.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us here today. We're handing out a document. We'll be brief. And Kent Evans from Willis is going to open the discussions.
Good afternoon, esteemed ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for allowing us to be here. I'm Ken Evans. I am a co-client advocate for the human capital practice and also your human capital consultant. We have been asked to address the council today to give you a brief overview to look forward to 2018. Seems like a long time away. But we've been asked to have you look at some calculations that we ran for the Cadillac tax. The Cadillac tax as it stands today is a excise tax that is placed and is highlighted on the first several pages of the handouts that we gave you, and it is tied to premiums. Currently, the legislation ties the excise tax to a premium level, a target level of $10,200 for a single and $27,500 for a family. The Cadillac tax is applied to all health plans, both in the public and private sector. It is tied to all health plans, both fully insured and also self-insured, which the county's plan is. These calculations and estimates, and I highlight the word estimates, are based on how the legislation and how the interpretation has been done thus far. There are many guidances that we are still waiting on from the IRS under the Affordable Care Act, so this is going to change, and that also we expect with all the changes that we have seen under the Affordable Care Act, it is highly likely and highly probable that there will be additional changes, modifications, possibly delays, postponements to the piece of legislation. But what we wanted to have you see is the calculations that we did run that based on no changes and no modifications, what possibly some of these estimate and what some of these taxes would look like. What happens is the law targets those premium target levels, and those target levels are gross levels. It includes premium calculations, it includes FSA contributions, HRA contributions, and we're still waiting on guidance from the IRS on whether it's going to include health savings account contributions. Any amount of monies that exceed those premium target levels, there is a 40% excise tax applied, and that money is collected by the Internal Revenue Service. If it is a self-insured plan, which the county's is, then that would be paid by the county themselves. If it's a fully insured plan, it's collected by the insurance carrier through the premiums and then paid to the IRS. If there's no questions on just the generalities about what the Cadillac tax is, most of what you want to hear is what our estimates are, and I will turn it over to Penny.
Thank you. This is Penny Hines. Speaking on page, in your document, page 7, we start the actual calculation. This is a model that we run for our clients each year. So it's a fluid document, and we ran it most recently in May of this year. The numbers haven't changed since then, and presented to the Benefit Committee. We have provided this type of information in the past to the Benefit Committee and the HR Department. But the cost estimator takes the present situation. So So your premium rates are based on your own claim experience, your plan design that you provide for your employees, your cost toward those programs for medical and prescription drug, as well as the employee's contribution. So unfortunately, it takes into account both the Newcastle County and the employee themselves' contributions toward the health programs. And those numbers that we use as a budget estimate are then trended forward to see where you will be in 2018. So using what we have today and what we know today, we trend the numbers forward, we see how you look in 2018, and we compare it to that threshold. And so where that threshold that Kent was describing, anything over that threshold would be subject to that 40% excise tax if this law does not change. So the bottom line on page 9, in 2018, if things don't change on the current trajectory with the county program costs and the law that's been enacted, we expect that the amount that will be subject to the 40% tax will be the 40% excise tax will begin in 2018 to be $306,000. And then the way this yes, sir.
It's clear that I'll be running out of room. Are you saying that's the tax or that's the amount that would be subject to?
That is the tax.
That is the tax, okay.
So that is the amount. Pardon me for 1 second. I just want to make sure I'm clear on that question. It's a good question. It is. It's the tax.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I wish it was the other. It was not, but it is the tax.
Okay.
So each year, as you all probably know, healthcare inflation grows at a rate that's higher than general inflation. That has been the case for the last number of years, decade. In anticipation of that, we are using a trend projection, and the excise tax threshold itself is only going up by a CPI, general inflation. And so the reason the number gets bigger is that the escalation of healthcare grows at a faster rate than general inflation, and that's what's making this number go up, 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 into very significant. Not that $306,000 is not a significant tax, but as you can see, if this continues on end, using an 8% annual trend with a 3% general inflation trend, the tax could become unbearable. Yes, Ed?
Hey, Miller. I know what you're saying, that why this amount, if it's an 8% or whatever it is, increase, why is it double in 2021?
It's the amount over the threshold in the tax, so the healthcare inflation factor is 8% and general inflation is 3%. So that delta rises, the premium rises over the threshold.
But to a double the tax that much?
Yes. Yeah. So the math is all in the report and exhibit, okay. And we don't want to belabor, but I'll show you one example, and that way you can get a framework of what we're talking about. Each plan has its own rate that you offer to the county employees. So the first plan is called the HMO plan. It's offered to all active employees, and you can see that we have on page 10 the enrollment by tier. There are 224 folks take single coverage, et cetera, with the total population 719 employees enrolled in the HMO plan times the current rates, and that is the current monthly rates that you're paying for 2014. If you look at the next page on 11, right now your current annual amount for single coverage employee only is $8,508 for that HMO. That's the rate times the enrollment. That's your current rates times 12. Monthly rates times 12. So on and so forth. If you trend that up 8% per year, by the time you get to 2018, the red shows anything in red is the amount that hits a threshold. The threshold is $10,200 for single in 2018. Your employee only rates reaching $11,575. So the excess is multiplied by the number of employees and then is taxed at 40%. So that's how the calculation applies itself. You do get some relief from our knowledge. Right now, there's relief for your pre-65 retirees have got to be counted in this calculation. There is some relief and allowance of a higher threshold for pre-65 retirees over the age of 55. Okay, so we have factored that into the calculations. We're hoping that there may be also some relief in terms of industry, some high-risk industries, which your population does have, but that's not, we have not gotten any interpretation on how to apply that type of relief. So this is just the information we know right now. Using an 8% trend, which is a marketplace trend for inflation, if you run better than that, that will help stave off the number. If you run worse, that will bring you closer to hitting that Cadillac excise tax. So we'll be monitoring this each and every year upon the renewal calculations. And again, like Ken said, it is taking place in 2018, so it is only 2014 right now. Yes?
So the solution really is, instead of linking it to the CPI, it actually really needs to be changed to be linked to actual costs, right? The inflation.
That would be a positive suggestion, right.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's unrealistic to...
It's very unrealistic, yes.
It is.
Yeah.
So the other slide on page 12, I just want to tell you, this is a nice slide in terms of action. This slide on page 12 tells you what you would need to have in terms of trend every year, on average, for you to not hit in 2018. It's just a different way of looking at it. So if we were predicting 8, but if you run on your single, if it only went up 4.64 a year, each and every year until 2018, you wouldn't hit in 2018 on single. And so also family is, you have all the way up to 10.38. That's actually a little higher than our estimate. So again, it's a sensitivity there. And it follows that format throughout your whole population of public employees and retirees. Luckily, your post-65 retirees do not need to be included in this tax calculation.
So in looking at page 31, the next question that we usually receive, again, is what are some things we can do? The first thing, again, this is 2014. We're talking about something that is 2018, but we wanted to show you the picture today because we are asked to talk about it because it is in the Affordable Care Act. However, a lot can happen, a lot can change. So we're not suggesting that anyone make a quick knee-jerk decision to this. Don't panic. We're suggesting that you consider start looking at your strategic approach, and that's what we're talking to all our clients and customers about. Some are taking the wait and see approach with certain things because the estimate is that there will be changes, modifications, delays, and some are choosing to take that type of approach. Many are deciding to take small steps approach, to do little steps, not knowing exactly what will be changed, what will be modified, what could be delayed. Or could the entire piece of that part of the legislation be taken out? It is a possibility. So therefore, you can wait and see where you can begin making small adjustments. Several different examples of that is maybe possibly offering more plans than you offer now, so people have the choice to maybe buy down if that's better for them and their family. Offer some more plans possibly. Get your hands around, we suggest to our clients that they start looking and getting their hands around the population health management, because you're self-insured, your claims drives your rates. So it's population health management and understanding what drives the rates is another suggestion. Because of labor contracts, we suggest that legal departments begin to look at language to be able to put in those contracts so that if the legislation doesn't change, that it gives movement to be able to make changes if the legislation does not change. That's a possible suggestion. Request a waiver. There is nothing in the statute that says that a waiver is allowed or to be granted, but individuals are asking us, clients are asking us, if you can ask for a waiver, by all means ask. Worst they could say is no or not respond. Could there be a possible granting of waivers? Yes, there could be, but there's nothing in the statute that suggests that there should be or should be granted. And then we have some clients that are taking aggressive steps. We wanted to show you a study on page 32 of what some other employers are doing, and these are both public sector and private sector clients. International Foundation of Employee Benefit Plans surveyed 879 public and private sector employers and asked them. Only 16.8% are currently doing something today to prepare for the tax. Many are considering, about 40% are considering, but they haven't done anything yet. All right, so a lot of people are looking at this, but not everyone is necessarily doing something about it yet. But I do commend the council in at least looking at it and being able to know what is there. But could there be a lot of changes and adaptations? Yes. We highly suggest in our counseling with the county is that we suggest that no less than once a year we rerun the calculation, and if there is changes and modifications to the law, at that point in time we rerun it again, so we constantly have that estimate in front of us. So we thank you very much, and if there are any additional questions.
I just have one. So you're the health care consultant for McCosker County?
Yes, sir.
Your fees are part of our health care cost?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so found one way to reduce part of it. Anybody else have any questions? Councilor Cordier.
Yes. So obviously a very complicated topic. I guess my first question is, are you, from your point of view, are you certain that we actually are going to fall under the definition of plans that are going to be required to pay this? Are we a Cadillac plan? Do we actually fall under the IRS definitions that are required to pay the excise tax?
We don't. This is Penny Hines responding. We haven't seen an out for the county in terms of the definition of an employer who would not be subjected to the tax. And the Cadillac is defined by your cost, unfortunately, not plan design features. It's strictly, so you could have an unhealthy population with a low-level benefit that has high costs, or very generous benefits but low, but a good demographic. It doesn't matter about the plan design or how much you share the cost with your workforce. It's all driven by your actual claim costs, administrative costs.
Well, let me follow that up then. What is the actual, criteria level cost-wise for the plan that triggers this?
If you look at page
10,200.
Threshold, page 4.
That those thresholds, the 10,200 and the 27,500. Because it's tied to financial dollars, that's the threshold for that Cadillac tax. So if the premium as a single, if the annual gross premium exceeds $10,200, so if I work for the county, I live in the county, but if I work for the county, then if my premium, the gross annual rate exceeds $10,200, any of the overage would be subject to that 40% excise tax, the overage above the $10,200. And that's both the county's contribution and mine as an employee.
What percentage of the workforce has a premium level like that?
Well, today no one to that level.
Right.
So that's again why it's out there into the future. Right now,
where are we now? What is the cost?
Page 11. You can see each plan is different depending on the plan. But the HMO, page 11. Which is the most, that's the most popular, the most populated plan.
Page 11 up top, John, that tells you everything. Then page 14 up top.
8,508 for single, and then the composite of families, 18,524. So your family rates actually take a little bit longer to get there. Another consideration is a possible resloping of, you have so much money that's spent on your benefit programs. I happen to be an underwriting type. So one possibility would be to possibly potentially reslope the rates in the short term to make the single rates lower and the family rates higher, collect the same amount of money, but move the rates around because the family rates don't hit as fast as the single rate in this calculation.
Anything further, Mayor?
So currently we really don't. We're not hitting those marks. They're implementing the program. When is the excise tax program?
The way it stands today, unless there is a delay, change, modification, 2018. It was originally delayed to 2018.
Okay.
We haven't seen much attention and focus any really on this provision because it's out there. Mm-hmm. A lot, as you probably are aware, a lot of work has been done on some of the pay and play and some of the earlier provisions one by one. So this one is kind of a sleeping dog out there into the future. But we feel the need to at least alert our clients on a yearly basis about the potential risk and exposure.
Thank you.
Christine, Donnie, my fear, I mean, you've got a growing retirement population at 55 to 65, because when you go to the pension age, you're already starting to see now that that population is getting ready to exceed what you currently have in your employees, which is that's the high expensive cost, too, as a person gets older.
And they pay the same rates, that premium rate is the same for your pre-65 retirees and your active. So, again, I've worked on the county budget for a long time on the healthcare side, and that's another tangential conversation about moving the dice. But everything has an unintended
somebody's
consequence.
Somebody's impacted somewhere.
Exactly. So
change.
Mm-hmm. This is a
need. Anything further from any members of council? Anything from the public? One more shot. Anything from the public on anything outside of this?
Gotcha. I have to go back to the summer youth program.
And you are, sir?
Ed Malecki from Finance.
Welcome to Finance.
Thank you. Just want to go back to that summer youth program. Tonight, just to avoid any legal issues, when council votes on the summer youth program, you probably should have recommended 14065 be voted on first before 14064. 14065 should be amended orally by whatever amount council decides.
And then that'll match.
And then go back to 14064 and change that. So we don't hold this program up. Thank you.
See nodding from the sponsors, they got it under control. Okay, we'll just make a motion to go out of order to take care of that. Okay, anything else in the public? 65. Can I get a go away motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion to adjourn, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Those not voting?